Shooter, the resident elk at the Pocatello Zoo in Idaho, is huge, standing 6 feet tall without taking into account his massive antlers, and 10 feet tall if you do. As you can imagine, he attracts a lot of attention, and one day a few zoo staffers watched as he acted strangely. He repeatedly dipped his entire head into his water trough, a decidedly uncharacteristic elk behavior. He certainly wasn't just taking a drink. Then, things got even more curious. Pulling his head from the water, Shooter now dipped his front hooves into the trough and seemed to be rooting around. After a minute or so, he withdrew his hooves and dunked his head again. When his head emerged this time, he had a tiny, dripping marmot in his mouth. He carefully released the marmot onto the ground and nudged him with one hoof until, recovering from his near drowning, he scampered away. What was going on? Did Shooter rescue a drowning marmot? That's what one of the zookeepers, Dr. Joy Fox, thinks. She believes Shooter sensed that the little rodent was in distress and decided to help. But on his first try, his antlers prevented him from reaching the marmot. So, Dr. Fox suggests, Shooter used his hooves to nudge the marmot away from the edge of the trough, then dunked his head again and rescued the marmot. Such behavior suggests that Shooter may have displayed two capacities not usually attributed to animals, the ability to problem solve and empathy. It's clear that Shooter figured out how to get the marmot out of the trough, though no one knows why. Perhaps he just didn't like rodents in his drinking water, or perhaps he was trying to help the marmot. Throughout history, most scientists and philosophers would have denied the possibility of altruistic behavior in an elk, especially toward another species. But today, scientists are not only willing to concede that animals have intelligence and emotions, they are also going out and finding the evidence to prove it. Scientists have shown us that many animals have rich emotional lives. Rats laugh when tickled. Magpies appear to mourn as they cover their fallen friends with greenery. Female humpback whales travel thousands of miles for annual reunions with their gal pals. Young chimps play make-believe and pretend that sticks are babies. Capuchin monkeys express indignation when treated unfairly. Dogs comfort other species in distress. An elk may be altruistic. Researchers are also amassing astonishing evidence for animal cognition. In fact, many scientists no longer question whether animals think. Now they are asking how animals think. Just as importantly, they are increasingly recognizing that human bias can get in the way of how science evaluates animals' cognitive abilities. In his book, Are We Smart Enough to Know How Smart Animals Are? Primatologist Franz de Waal suggests, instead of making humanity the measure of all things, we need to evaluate other species by what they are. In doing so, I am sure we will discover many magic wells, including some as yet beyond our imagination. Discoveries about animal intelligence are revealing nothing short of de Waal's magic wells. Dung beetles take mental snapshots of the Milky Way and use these celestial maps to navigate. Bears and chickens can count. Whales compose songs that rhyme. And ants appear to recognize themselves in mirrors. When apes, who can talk using signs or lexigrams, don't know the word for something, they occasionally invent their own terms, some of which are startlingly creative metaphors, such as calling ketchup tomato toothpaste. Prairie dogs have a complex vocabulary with calls that function as parts of speech. Using specific yips and barks, they can communicate information as detailed as, "Watch out for the small human in the blue shirt!" The examples of animal hearts and minds you will find in this book might sound like the stuff of storybooks, not science. But it is science. And it is proving what Charles Darwin suggested more than a century ago. The difference between humans and other animals is one of degree and not of kind.